Today's message is titled, "And Then I Remember I Have You." And then I remember I have you. And you could put the emphasis on any of those words, and the meaning remains the same. And then I remember I have you. And then I remember I have you. And then I remember I have you. They're all true. And that's literally all that I have to say this morning.
Amen.
That is the main idea. That's the title, and that's the main idea, and that's all I want to say today, with a few embellishments. With a few. You see, it's not that I want to say any more, it's that I want to make sure you understand that. So in order to understand that, I need to say a little bit more so that it comes clearly into focus what it is that I'm speaking about when I say, "And then I remember I have you." So turn with me to Matthew chapter 28, and we're going to look at verses 16 through 20. Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Or I like what the King James Version says, of course, "And lo." I like that "lo." It has a feel of weightiness to it. "And lo." It's stronger than "surely." It means the same thing. "But lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." It says, some doubted. And when I read that, I thought, wait. Some doubted. Jesus is about to ascend to his Father. He's been here 3 years. He was crucified. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. And now here's the end of it. We're about at the 40-day part. He's been around for 40 days. And it says that he's about to ascend. And it says that they saw him. The 11 went to the mountain and they saw him. And some doubted. Some doubted. Even then, wasn't just Thomas. Maybe this didn't even include Thomas. Maybe Thomas was good after he saw him once. Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," after he examined the risen Christ. But here, whoever it was, didn't name anybody, but it says some doubted even then. And I read that and I said, "What?" And then I said, "Thank you, Lord." I said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord that he's familiar with doubting disciples, because I'm one of them. Thank you, Lord, that you put that in there, that this is not perfection here. These are the 11 men that you are now entrusting." And it says, "And some doubted." And you're getting ready to leave? How did that make you feel, Jesus? It seems as though he was undaunted, because he didn't address their doubt. He just went on with his instructions. Some doubted. And I'm thankful because he knows the symptoms of doubt. He knows the treatment for doubt. And as I examine my own walk with the Lord, I'm often struck with the truth that I am not relying on the durability of my faith in this journey. I don't know about you, but I am not relying upon the strength or the durability or even the quality of my faith. For me, it's all about the customer service. It's not the product. It's about the customer service. It's the one who can treat it when it breaks down. It's about the one who can fortify it when it begins to wilt. It's about the one who can refresh it when it begins to fade. It's the one who knows about doubt because he's had a long line of doubters that he has dealt with. And so when I find myself in a place of doubt, I say, and then I remember, I have you. And then I remember, I have you. I don't have to have it all together. I have you. I don't have to have it working perfectly. I have you. I don't have to know how to fix it when it breaks down. I don't need to know the mechanics of my faith. I have you. Go and make disciples. Teach them to obey everything I've commanded you. Give to them what I have given you. Tell them whom you have experienced me to be. Make disciples of all the nations. All the nations. How, Lord? That's a tall order. Teach them to obey everything you've commanded us. How, Lord? And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Wait, that's not an answer, Jesus. I asked you how, and you gave me lo. Lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. Now, we find, as we go through the scriptures, we find similar instruction in Acts chapter 1, which I referred to a moment ago, where just before Jesus went back to heaven, the disciples were asking when he's going to come back and when are you going to establish your kingdom. And in Acts 1, 7 and 8, we read these words. He said to them, "It's not for you to know the times or dates the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." So this is another way of the Lord saying, I am with you. I want you to impart to others who I am to you, and I'm going to be with you. Through my Holy Spirit, you're going to receive power and you will be my witnesses. I'm going to be with you. So as you go about this week, executing your life, attempting to influence others for Christ, attempting to express Christ through your life, remember you have him with you. Remember, you have me with you is what he wants us to remember. When life's hills seem daunting, and they do at times, don't they? I'm telling you, this weekend was a lifetime of daunting hills. Not a lifetime, but quite a bit for Laverne and me. Or you find yourself at a dead end or in a ditch. or just stalled out on the side of the road. And just remember, stop and say. And then I remember I have you. And then I remember I have you. Now, it's phrased as a prayer. It's phrased as I asked you to write it down for a reason. I didn't ask you to write down, and then I remembered I have him. I intentionally put it in present tense so that it's ready for that moment. And then I remember I have you. In this moment, I have you. And of course, as we look at the scriptures, we see that God's remember I'm with you. That plan did not start in the New Testament. It's really been a part of his approach with his people from the very beginning. And you can write down these verse references to check as I quote them. Moses in Exodus 33, and I read this a week ago or so. Exodus 33, 14 through 17. Exodus 33, 14 through 17, we read these words. The Lord replied, my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest, Moses. I got a big task for you, but my presence will go with you, and I will give you rest. And then Moses said to him, if your presence doesn't go with us, don't send us up from here. Because how will anyone know that you're pleased with me and with your people unless you go with us? What else will distinguish me and your people from all the other people on the face of the earth? And the Lord said to Moses, I will do this very thing for you that you have asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. I read this verse many, many years ago, and I latched onto it when I was asked to move out here from Michigan. This is the verse that I squoze, as they used to say. I squoze it. I didn't squeeze it. I squoze it. This is the one I cling to because I realize that any faith venture is doomed to failure unless the presence of the Lord is with me. I ain't that smart. I ain't that strong, I'm not that good, and I'm definitely not that willing. So Moses said, this is not going to work unless you go with us. And the Lord says, I will do this because I'm pleased with you. And I know you by name. And thank God this morning I was thanking him, Lord, thank you that that's me in Christ. You are pleased with me because of Christ. You know me by name, as we were looking at a few weeks ago. He calls his sheep by name. You are the distinguishing factor, Lord, in my effects. The stuff that I'm able to do and the things that I understand about you and that I'm able to bless others with, anything spiritual, anything that is God-honoring that comes out of me, it is because of you. You are the distinguishing factor in my effects. And you are the qualitative difference in how I perceive and how I experience life on a supernatural plane. The reason I'm able to see things on the supernatural plane is because of your presence with me. The reason I'm able to have a perspective that is otherworldly is because of your presence with me. The reason I'm able to be calm and receive peace from you is because your presence is with me. So if your presence doesn't go with me, Lord, I'm ready to check out. That's how I see it. I'm ready to check out now if your presence doesn't go with me. Every day I light these tea candles. And the tea candles represent the presence of the Lord with me. It's just one of my things. It represents the presence of the Lord with me. And I thank him every morning for the warmth of his love and affection because of his presence with me. I thank him every morning for the light of truth about who he is that he reveals, making the words about him an increasing reality to me day by day. A more vivid reality. The things that the scriptures say about him are becoming more than words to me, not because I figured it out, but because of your presence in me, your teaching and tutoring presence, opening my eyes. Jesus said, I will disclose myself to you. I will make myself real. I will make the words you're reading about me and that you've heard from your childhood, I'll make them live so that you know these things to be true about me, so that you know me. So I thank you for the revelation of truth. And I thank you, Lord, for the energy. See, a flame has light and it's got energy. And I thank him for that. The energy that you give me to want to inspire others in you. That comes from you. It is your presence in me. Joshua, not only Moses in Exodus, Joshua. Then they answered Joshua when Joshua succeeded Moses. They answered Joshua, whatever you have commanded us, we will do. And whatever, wherever you send us, we will go. This is Joshua chapter 1, 16 through 17. Joshua 1, 16 through 17. Then they answered Joshua, whatever you've commanded us, we will do. And wherever you send us, we will go. Just as we fully obeyed Moses, so we will obey you. Only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. I really like that. You know, Joshua, all we want to know is the Lord with you? Okay, we ain't got it all figured out. We don't know all that you know, and we don't know all the intricacies of all of this. Here's what we want to know. Is the Lord with you? That's what we want to know. If the Lord is with you, we'll obey you just like we obeyed Moses, but only may the Lord be with you. See, the people were stupid at times, but they weren't dumb. They forgot who the Lord was, but they knew that the essential difference was the Lord's guidance and the Lord's presence. So only may the Lord your God be with you as he was with Moses. And then David in Psalm 23, 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. And then I remember, said David, you know, I'm in this valley of the shadow of death. And then I remember I have you. And so I don't fear any evil, not because I'm tough, not because I figured it out, but because you are with me. And then I remember, says David, then I remember I have you. And I have you forever. See, he's never going to go away. See, he's an endless resource. You can't use him up. Can't wear him out. Can't evict him. He's there. And then I remember I have you. It doesn't get any better than that. This is the testimony of men who've walked with him and women who've walked with him. Isaiah 41:10. We used to sing this song when I was back in college. Someone put words, put music to these words, and we used to sing it all the time. Do not fear, Isaiah 41:10. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed. Or one translation says, don't anxiously look about you, because I am your God. I will strengthen you, I will help you, and I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Boy, as I was meditating on this morning, I said, Lord, you have done that for me more times than I can recount. I can't even begin to tell you how many times you have reached down and strengthened me with your righteous right hand. How many times you've calmed my anxious thoughts. I said, don't fear. I am with you. Thank you, Jesus. I remember watching a movie. Some of you might have seen the movie. I'm not going to mention the title because I don't recommend the movie. But if you saw it, then you're just as bad as me. So, so you can't judge me. If you're not familiar, it'll still make sense. But there's this one scene where the husband has lost his job. And he's really discouraged because everything he has tried has just blown up. And he just hasn't been able to find work. He just hadn't been able to do it. And they're about to lose their house. And his wife is saying, well, I'll get a second job. And all these things are happening. And he just feels like a total failure. And he looks in his wife's eyes as they're standing out in the garage. And he's about to sell off all the stuff that they had in their garage for a yard sale, try to make some money. Sold off his Porsche. Well, he shouldn't have had a Porsche universally. But anyway, no, I'm just kidding. He could have a Porsche. That's fine. And he's really hit bottom. And he stands there and he looks at her. And tears are streaming down and he's angry. And he says, look, I am a whatever age he was. He says, I'm a loser. I'm a failure. That's who I am. I'm a middle-aged failure. You want the truth. And everything has gone to pot, to seed. And she said, everything hasn't. She said, you have me. And she reaches up and she grabs him gently by the lapel and pulls him to her and says, you have me. You have me. And that's what the Lord's saying to us. I don't care what's going on. You have me. And I have you. And nothing is going to change that. It doesn't matter what happens around you. You have me. And I have you. But don't just remember that he's with you. Remember who he is. Remember who he is, who is with you. You know, he's the one who, according to the scripture, says he knows our thoughts from afar. So eloquence is not required. People may not understand what you're talking about. You may be a babbling idiot to them. They may not know what the heck you're talking about. He knows. He knows my thoughts from afar, it says in Psalm 139. That's who's with me. Somebody that I don't have to break it down for. I don't have to kind of get through all the complexity of it. I don't have to explain it. You're the one who's with me, the one who knows my thoughts from afar. So when I'm all a tangled mass of confusion and I can't figure myself out, then I remember I have you. That's who's with me. I remember I have you. Thank you, Jesus. He's the one who knows the desires of my heart. That's who's with me. The one who not only knows the request of my lips, because I get confused. Not the one that even knows the thoughts in my mind, because I get confused. I don't even know what I want sometimes, Lord. I got a hankering for something, but I don't know what it is. So I don't know what it is. But thank God that the one who is with me, I remember I have you. You know the desires of my heart. You know the desires of my heart. So because I know, you know the desires of my heart, Lord, when I come before you, I'm not submitting any ultimatums about how it's got to be. I ain't giving you no ultimatums, Lord. I'm just giving you my trust. Because you know the desires of my heart. I ain't stamping my foot saying it's got to be this way. Because then I remember who's with me. I remember that you know me far better than I know me. You know the desires of my heart, not just the request of my lips. And I have had many, many times when I look back and I say, thank you, Lord, for not giving me the request of my lips. Even though I was all mad and I had attitude and I was discouraged and I was complaining and I was kicking and screaming and running around saying all kinds of bad things about you in my head because I'm too spiritual to say it with my mouth, even then you didn't give in and you didn't say, okay. No, because you knew the desires of my heart. You knew that. You knew that. So then I remember I have you. That's who's with me. The one who knows the purposes that he has for me. So that my life counts and matters, and there's significance to my life because you know the purposes that you have for me. I was created for your glory, and you know the best expression of that glory. So when I'm running around wondering what's my purpose, then I remember I have you. I don't have to know it. I don't have to know it. Lord, I don't have to know it. I don't have to write it on a piece of paper. Here's my purpose. I don't have to know it. Amen. I have you. Amen. If you want to write it on a piece of paper, that's fine, but you don't need to because he's with you. The Lord will accomplish what concerns me, the scriptures say. So what I need to do is remember I have you. That's my job, just to remember. And you know what, Lord? You're so cool. Because you even remind me to remember. I got a supportive father and friend. That's who's with me. A supportive father and friend. I was meditating on the biblical directive to be overflowing with thankfulness. And I wasn't. I wasn't overflowing. And I wasn't even thankful. So there it was. That gap between what the Bible instructs and where I was standing. You know, there's the Bible's instruction and here's where I'm standing. So there I was. And then I remember, I have you. I can't jump that far. You know, I need a ferry to get over there. And I don't have the fare. So I remember saying to the Lord, Lord, that's where you want me to go. It's a lovely spot, overflowing with thankfulness. It's a lovely spot, but I'm over here. And I would love to visit that place. Can you sponsor me? I don't have the fare to get over there. Can you sponsor me? And yes, he does. And yes, he will. And yes, he has. Because that's what he does. And that's what he wants me to do, to look to him to sponsor my journeys into greater compliance with his word. Remember, I have you. See, that's what makes my relationship with him more genuine, more relevant, and intimate. Talking to him. My mood didn't instantly change. But instead of cringing and feeling ashamed or judged, my hope was rightly placed in the Lord. I correctly saw him as a supportive friend and not as a scowling, exacting judge. So who's with me? A supportive father and friend. You're not just with me. You're not looking at me. You're not with me with a critical spirit. You're not with me with a judgmental attitude. You're not with me ready to punish me for failing. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You're with me with compassion. You're with me as one who can sympathize with my weaknesses. You're with me as one who says, come near to the throne of grace that you might receive mercy and grace to help you in your time of need. When you hit those gaps, come to me. Remember, you have me. That's what I'm here for. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. What a gift he is. The gift that keeps on giving. The one who's with me knows the hearts of all people. He knows the hearts of all people. And who's a good influence on me? And who's a negative influence on me? Who is an asset to his purposes for me? And who is what I said in Sunday school a while back, or at our Good Friday, our Sunday morning sunrise service? Who's a good influence and who's a marplot? Marplot is a person that tries to foil all the plans that are for your good. You see in the movie, the marplot is also known as the antagonist, but a marplot, somebody who's trying to mess up your story. And there are people who want to mess up your story. And the evil one is behind it all, because our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And so the evil one using these marplots to try to mess up the Lord's story for us. But the one who is with me knows the hearts of all people. And he knows how to steer the ones who are there for my benefit into a place of blessing. And he knows how to take the ones who are there for dubious and sinister reasons. He knows how to turn that around too and befuddle them. That's who's with me. You see, he knows how to do that. He's smarter than they think. He's smarter than they think. I'm not, but he is, you see. I don't have to be smarter than you. I just need to know somebody who is. I don't need to be stronger than you. I just need to know somebody who is. I don't have to be more powerful than you. I just need to know somebody who is. Then I remember I have you. Greater in me than in the world is he. The one who is in me is greater than the one who is in the world. He is in me, a protector against the endless schemes of the evil one. He's the one that dispatches his angels. Angels, Hebrews 1 says he dispatches his angels as ministering spirits to those who will inherit salvation. So they are literally God's secret service agents surrounding my life. The one who is with me. Nothing is impossible. Nothing is impossible for the one who is with me. The word, according to the prophet Jeremiah, he declared, "Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is anything too difficult for me?" And the Lord didn't wait for an answer, because it's a rhetorical question. What? Is anything too difficult for me? That's really it. What? What? Is anything too difficult for me? For all that I am not, he is. For all that I lack, he has. For all that I do not know, he knows. And then I remember I have you. The one who's with me knows how to get through to me. Some of y'all don't know how to get through to me. My wife doesn't always know how to get through to me. No matter how hard she talks, no matter how eloquent she is, no matter how precise her arguments may be, no matter what, some of y'all know what I'm talking about. There are some times when nobody can get through to us. Okay? I mean, we like to think that we're open people. And we like to think that we like to think that. Right? We like to think that we're people who are willing to receive new information, adjust our old crusty ways. We don't like to see ourselves set in our ways. No, I am endlessly pliable and open and responsive and receptive. You're the one with the problem. You're the rigid one. Because if you saw it my way, you'd be pliable my way. You'd be pliable like this. We fall into these ruts of behavior and thought patterns and behaviors. We get stuck. And the Lord doesn't want us stuck. He wants us to be progressing to one, from one glory to the next. He wants us to be growing and expanding. And that requires some input. So when I find myself all crusty and stuck, I'm not sitting there trying to wrestle myself out of it. I remember I have you. I remember you know how to get through to Dan Beatty. You know what I need to hear, how I need to hear it, when I need to hear it, from whom I need to hear it. And you do this. Sometimes it's my wife a week later. Sometimes it's my wife an hour later. Sometimes it's a TV commercial. Sometimes it's a cartoon. Sometimes it's something I see in a magazine. Sometimes it's something I see on the back of a dump truck. Sometimes it's something I'm singing and all of a sudden it pops out of my mouth. I'm like, whoa. No, it's because of the one who is with me, and he's infinitely creative. Infinitely creative. And he knows how to get through to me. I am so thankful for that. So let me say this. We talk a lot about our relationship with the Lord, and we were talking about this last Thursday. Don't get frustrated. Don't get frustrated in your journey to know the Lord better. Let me just say that again. Don't get frustrated. It's wonderful to be stimulated. It's wonderful to be challenged. It's wonderful to be expanded and to think, or to be challenged to think bigger. But frustration is never something that should be in your experience as you are seeking to know the Lord better. Am I doing it right? Am I figuring it out? Don't be frustrated. The Lord knows how to get through to you where you are. Be anxious for nothing, the scripture says. So you have permission to be anxious for one thing, nothing.
All right.
Pray about it. Give thanks for where you are, right now, right here, just as you are. Don't be frustrated as you seek to grow closer to the Lord and experience greater riches in Him, because behind the process is a person. Behind the process is a person who loves you and desires connection with you far more ardently than we desire it for ourselves. Stay focused on Him. I was having breakfast with a lovely gentleman, and if you are here this morning, but I'm not going to disclose your name unless you very subtly raise your hand and give me permission. But I am going to quote you. because it was a fabulous quote. We were talking about just this journey with Christ. And he said these words to me as we sat at breakfast. He said, I'm not going to obsess over this. I'm going to relax and let the Lord love me and see what happens. I'm going to relax. Not going to obsess over this. I'm going to relax and let the Lord love me and see what happens. That's someone who is confident that the Lord knows who he is and knows how to get through to him. And he's not frustrated about it. And since he didn't raise his hand, I'm not going to tell you who he is. But I'm going to look in his direction. No, I'm not. So I want us all to take some time this week to enjoy and celebrate what we've built together with the Lord, not just focus on continuing to build it. So he knows how to get through to us. And finally, like I said, he knows how to, the one who is with us understands doubt. Would you rather be treated for something by a novice or by an expert? By somebody who says to you, you know, I've never seen what you've got before in my entire life. Let's schedule your surgery for next week. Or somebody who has seen and treated millions upon millions for that thing. That is who is with you when it comes to doubts. When it comes to your places of darkness and doom and despair, the one who is with you has treated millions upon millions upon millions of cases and millions and millions and millions of satisfied customers. Many in this room who can say, I was there and I've been treated and he's a miracle worker. Amen. He's a miracle worker. And finally, when life is pleasant, remember who is with you. When life is pleasant, when it's one of those amazing days, or when you've had that amazing outcome, or it's been an amazing year, or right now you think you're living an amazing life, and then I remember I have you. See, I don't just remember I have you when everything is going great. You see, I remember I have you and when things are going wrong, I should say. I don't just remember you when things are down in the toilet. I also remember I have you when things are great. I recognize that where I am right now is a product of your faithfulness to me. It's not because I did it myself. And the Lord warned them going into the promised land, remember that I was with you when your flocks and your herds and you get all your riches. Don't say, my power has given me this. But you ought to remember the Lord because he is giving you power to create wealth. He's giving you the energy. My wife and I were talking about how we walk around, and I don't mean us in this room, but people, mankind, we walk around thinking that we're powering ourselves. When you really get down to it, we are not even powering our own thoughts. We're not powering our actions. We're not powering, as Laverne says, he's not just giving you breath. He's giving you every inhale and every exhale. And I like that because that breaks it down. It says in the scripture that in him we move and we breathe and we exist. It says in Colossians, he holds all things together. The reason we're not flying apart is because he's holding all things together. So whatever it is that I have been able to accomplish, and then I remember, I have you. And the Lord is not being any more faithful to me when the sun is shining than when it's raining. So let's not just withhold, let's not just reserve our praise for those times when the sun breaks through the clouds. Because you see, faithfulness is going on when it's raining. Faithfulness is going on. You know, it's so cliche, but it is so true. We need the sunshine and the rain. We need them both. It's profoundly true. And God is faithful to monitor both in our lives. Doesn't rain too much. And the sun doesn't shine too much. Just as he cares for the earth, he cares for us. And he knows when to stop the rain. He knows when the rain has had its perfect effect. I know sometimes it seems like, Lord, it's been raining a long time. I know it seems like that. I know it seems like, Lord, this is not some spring shower. You know, I can understand a spring shower, but this is not. This is like torrential rains. This is mudslide rain. This is rain that is just wrecking everything. See, but then I remember. Remember who's with me. Remember who's with me. I've been watering the earth a long time, Dan. I've been caring for people a long time. I have an app on my phone that George and Gina, when we were having a coffee over at Starbucks and chatting, they turned me on to this app that organizes your personal information. And, you know, I have it on my phone, and I've just, you know me. I mean, I just filled it all up. The thing is just like it's smoking when I turn it. It's got all this information on it. Laverne's laughing. She knows how I am. What else will it do? You know, but at the top, got this feature where you can pin the note at the top, the one that you really want to access most frequently. And you've probably seen this. There are many apps probably like this, but this is the one I use. And I've got pinned so that when I open up the application, that note is always there. It's the first thing I see before I go through everything else. And at the top of my device, that app, are these words. And then I remember, I have you. Because for everywhere I'm going, for everything I'm doing, for every encounter that I have with another person, whether it's personally in my family, whether it's as a pastor, whether it's as a customer at a store, whatever it is, that is the most relevant thing to me to remember. And I pray it often. And then I remember, I have you. I am with you even to the end of the age. The old song says, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, wherever I be, if he is there.